This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parmelson Associates. While reducing your overhead alone isn't a guaranteed path to profit, bloated overhead is one of the biggest leaders of profit decline. Is your advertising budget in line with expectation, and is your overhead in check with the rest of your business? This and everything else overhead related is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you have a question for me or just want to hear your question answered on here, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions and popular episodes on here, is available now on Amazon for paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services Parmelis offers auto repair shop like yours? Shoot me a message at info@parmelis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to recruit top talent for your top shop, give ProMotive a call. If you need to get your back office under control, give Alex and Wickedfile a call. If you need to get your shop moving in the right direction, give Maverick Shop Owners a call. And if you need to get your marketing back on track, give Overdrive Marketing a shout today. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing ProMotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wickedfile, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wickedfile. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Tired of vendors selling you leads without accountability? Overdrive acts as your outsourced marketing director. And because it's powered by AI, it predicts demand, launches smart campaigns, and tracks every dollar. More car count, higher ARO, real control. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. In the coming weeks, we're going to be going down through a lot of these other expenses. We do an annual benchmark report, re-benchmark all of our clients' data, what people are spending, where they're spending it, and we will get into the nitty-gritty, but I want to go down through some overall thoughts on overhead. We're going to get into a couple of key categories here, but before we get into that, I want to be very, very clear about something. Just like the title showed, if your business is not making money, do I think you need to knee-jerk go and cut expenses? No. And I would argue for a lot of you guys that your issue is not your overhead. But like I said in the lead on here, for many, many, many shop owners or any business owner out there, you have bloated overhead that you might not even realize that you have. And is it the reason you're not making money? Probably not. Is it the reason that you're making less money? Absolutely. Think about yourself. Think about your own personal finances. Let's just think about streaming services. Think about how many streaming services you're paying for right now. Think about how many of those you're actually using. And think about some of those you might have been paying for twice. Everyone is guilty of this. There's only so much time in your day. Now imagine how much more money is flowing through your business. Things like this are happening every day. Another thing on here is if you are not looking at your numbers, and arguably if you're not looking at the transactions, on some level, you are paying for this stuff. I do not see my clients that have a good handle on their finances or have some involvement in their finances with bloated overhead. The reason is you know that you stopped paying for Sirius satellite radio last month. Your bookkeeper sees that for the last 25 years. They don't know that it shouldn't be on there. Little things like that, which turn into larger things on it, are a reason why, again, don't need to be doing this every single day, but only you can stop some of this stuff. Another thing on this is be careful who you compare this to. I just said before that one of the ways that we get a lot of these numbers is our benchmark. But if you are a rural diesel shop in Kansas, are you comparing yourself to a European shop in Seattle, Washington? Some of this stuff is constant. Some of this stuff is the same for everyone else throughout the country. but overhead in a larger category could not be more unique to you. Everyone is selling parts and labor. Where you do it, how you do it, dictates your overhead. You want to be on Main Street in a super high rent district. Your overhead is going to be a lot different than the exact same repair shop in your town that's back in a business park. Well, the reason why we're having this episode is for me to not come back and say, I don't think that you should run your business that way. This is too expensive to be there. But there's a lot of people that are running a business that they don't want to and they don't even realize it. So the whole idea of this episode is for you to start looking at these numbers and look for the relationship. Not necessarily the finer percentages on it, but what these numbers are saying. What I talk about all the time is numbers do not lie, but the people reading them often do. And this episode could not be a better example of that. Are any of these going to sound exactly like your business? No, but where you differ shouldn't be a surprise to you. Again, once we start going down through some of these categories, I think this will make a lot of sense. But overall idea here is we are trying to get our overhead under control, not necessarily trying to eliminate or reduce all of this. Without further ado, let's get into these actual categories that we need to control. And again, looking at material things, I'm not going to talk about meals. I'm not going to talk about travel because those are benefiting you guys, which is one of the best expenses out there. And also, how much money are we really going to be able to change or really be able to save if we cut 5, 10% out of some of these smaller categories? To start off, we're going to talk about advertising. Advertising is probably the number one fixed expense that I've had the most episodes on. We are not going to get into the nitty-gritty on if you should be using Yelp or not, but I want to kind of give you guys some baselines to see where you stand. 3 percentage points of your sale. That is what the average shop is spending on advertising. That means if you're doing about $1 million a year, you're spending around $30,000 a year on advertising. What's that? A little bit less than $3,000 a month on advertising. If you benchmark all of our shops, and this is what we did, that is where you'll come up with that number. Again, like I mentioned before, benchmarks are always good and they should be used in relation. If you are higher than 3%, then are you trying to get more cars? Are you trying to grow your market share? You might be saying to yourself, well, Hunt, I'm spending at least 5 to 6 percentage points right now in advertising, but I'm trying to go from 1.2 million to 1.6. Again, that kind of matches up with what this is saying. Now, the same flip side of it, if you're saying, Hunt, we got more work than we know what to do with. We're booked 4 weeks out on here, and you're still spending 5% of your sales on advertising, then you might have an issue. But again, this is only how far that this analysis goes. When you're looking at your financials, you start at the highest level possible, and you start drilling down in detail. What you could find out is even that person that has more cars than they know what to do with, maybe that advertising makes sense, because looking at their track record, they're coming into a slow period. This is a lot more complicated than just how much money am I spending on this stuff, guys. You have to look into it. You have to understand it. This one really can only be looked at in extremes. And arguably, this is the only category out there where if you spend more, it'll actually be cheaper. Before I get into what the extremes are and what I mean on that one, let's unpack that comment of what I said. Advertising is arguably the only expense category that you can spend more money and you make that expense cheaper. And I'll give you the example on that. If I go out there and I have $10,000 in sales right now and I spend $10,000 on advertising, would you call me crazy? Some of you guys might, because you might have had that failed advertising campaign in the past. If I went out there and I spent $10,000 of my sales on advertising, that is now 100% of my monthly sales. However, if that advertising works and it turns into $1 million in sales the following month, how much is that same $10,000? Spending the money on advertising that drives work in the building ends up making the advertising relatively cheaper. And that's one of the things that you should keep in mind here is you should never have super expensive advertising unless you're always trying to grow. Because at some point, you're going to reach a level where we shouldn't keep on having to spend that much money to bring in the same amount of clients. Let's get into the extremes, right? And this is where I say this is the only place that this can be used kind of, you know, that cut and dry is if it's an extreme situation. So if you're saying, Hunt, I am spending 4.5% and I don't think I need more cars, but am I spending too much on advertising? Who knows? This is close enough. I have no idea. Neither does your coach. Neither does anyone. You need to look and you need to look at your own numbers. Are the customers coming back? Are we scaring them off? Is it really our close ratio or something else? Again, people sometimes translate their advertising to repair orders, and there's so many different things that come in between on there. Another thing that we have to mention here is where this 3% came from. 3% is the average of all of my shops, but essentially I have two different shops in that average. Most of my shops that advertise are spending around 5% of their sales on advertising, and the other half of them is spending virtually nothing, or their advertising is season tickets and stuff. If you're looking at there and you're saying, Hunt, I'm actually in the average of around 3%, that's pretty rare because it's a little bit of no man's land. It's a little bit of advertising, but not really a ton like you're trying to get true market share. The final thing on this, and this is where we've done so many episodes, and if you haven't listened to any of my episodes I've done on return on investment and advertising, go check them out. But all of this comes down to return on investment and value. That same example I just mentioned, where if I went and said, if I give you $10,000 for advertising, would you say yes or no? The longer answer is, well, how much am I going to get back? If my $10,000 in advertising is going to get me $10,000 in sales next month, I might do it if the sales are profitable enough. But if that example before, that $10,000 gets me $1 million the following month, I probably say, hey, what does $20,000 get me? What does $30,000 get me? Do not look at your advertising and say, where can I spend less money? But if you have the capacity to do so, how could I use my money more effectively? Talk to your vendors, talk to your marketers, get value out of this stuff. And most importantly on it, go back to them and set expectations. I hear both sides of it because I have a lot of friends in this industry that do marketing. They want to help you guys, but a lot of times you can't quantify it. We're slow as crap. We don't have any cars to work on. That is not good feedback for your advertisers. Hey, last week we had 12 new customers. I need 22 in order to make my goals happen on it. They love it. They hear it. And now they have a measurable on it. Are they going to be able to hit it? Maybe, maybe not. But unless you give them a real goal like that, how can you ever set any expectations? If you're spending 10% of your sales and you've had consistent sales for the last 3 years, then something is wrong with your advertising. If you're spending 0% of your sales on advertising and you have declining sales, you might have an issue. A lot of you are somewhere in the middle, and there's a lot of percentages to spread there, but this is a good starting point to work with. So everyone likes to talk advertising. It's a big one. It's complicated. There are so many facets to it. Let's go to a simple one. And arguably your simplest expense out there, credit card fees. Everyone hates them. Every single year they get higher and higher, not only from a percentage standpoint, but for a lot of my clients, your business is 90, 95, even some 100% credit cards. So magic question, Hunt, how much should I be paying on credit card fees? The magic answer is I have no idea, but the general average is around, and I'm saying around, 2.5% of credit card sales. Do not look at your credit card fees divided by total sales because that is not a good measure of it. If you have a ton of people paying with cash and check, it might look like you have a cheap rate, but you just don't take much credit cards. Look at your statement. Look at what people are charging you to actually do this stuff. If you look at these statements, you are going to learn so much more about your business than I could ever explain on this next 4 minutes. Seriously, the way in which people pay you is probably the biggest way that you can handle some of your cost here. If I have a shop that takes a ton of American Express, and I think Discover, one of the random ones that I never see anywhere, is bad too. But if you take a bunch of Amex and Discover, you could be paying 0.4, 0.5% higher than a shop that's only taking Visa and debit. How you get this, how you're classified, if you sell gas, is going to be cheaper than my clients that don't sell gas on this. Your results may vary. I don't want to spend a ton of time on this one, but this is the easiest one to shop around and compare. If you have a straight credit card processor, it's not integrated with anything on there, then you are unaffiliated. Shop this thing around. If they're going to give you a better rate on it and you actually get that better rate, then great. If I'm going from 2.6% down to 2.2%, at the end of the day, it's just swiping a credit card. It doesn't take me any more time or my customers. Man, that's some of the coolest things out there. That means that you were just throwing away 0.4% because you didn't feel like having a phone call or even submitting something online. So check this stuff out, guys, right? If you haven't shopped it around in a while, it might be worth looking at. The thing about it that is going to limit your options here is what integrates with your shop management software. Do not ignore convenience. if I have a credit card that is integrated into my shop management system that saves me time, energy, frustration, errors, or whatever, I would rather pay 2.7% than 2.5% to make my life easier, to make my team's life easier, to reduce these mistakes on there. There is a premium I'm willing to pay just for the luxury of the service. It makes my life easier. There's tons of stuff you guys pay for to make your life easier. Why are you going to nickel and dime it on the credit card fees? That being said, I don't think I'm going to pay 3%. And that probably depends on how big my business is. You're doing $500,000 a year. Do something that is going to save you the most amount of time. The percentages aren't going to bite you. You're doing $4 or $5 million a year. Yeah, those 0.1, 0.2 is major dollars. And I probably shop that around a bit. Next thing on here is, well, hon, maybe we could reduce this by charging a credit card fees. All I have on my notes here is your results may vary. This is location by location. My big argument is if you're taking 99% credit cards, why are you having a credit card fee and not just increasing it in your rates? The argument for like my business of why we don't do credit card fees is a majority of you guys do not pay me with credit cards. Like 60% of my business has no credit card fees on it. So if I just increased all of your fees, I'm penalizing people that aren't even costing me any money. However, if your business is 98% credit cards, why are you charging 98% of your customers a fee? I get it. Some places around the country, this is starting to become customary. And if it is, and you can get away with it, then do it. Your results may vary because I have probably seen that like rescinded or my clients try to do it and walk it back because the public feedback was pretty bad. Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive, on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry. Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. If your car count fluctuates and you don't know why, that's not marketing, that's gambling. Overdrive.os installs a true marketing operating system inside your shop. It monitors performance daily, predicts slow weeks before they hit, and automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns to stabilize car count. Every dollar is tracked, every campaign is measured, every result is optimized. No random boost, no guesswork, no hope marketing. This is controlled via data-driven growth built specifically for auto repair shops. If you're ready for predictable revenue and getting the most out of your marketing, visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. Another one on here is, like I said before, is like, hey, let's change how people pay us. Here's an easy one. You don't want to pay any credit card fees, have them pay you with cash, check, debit card. There's risk associated with all of this, and how fast you want to get paid is a premium here. You do save the 3% if they give you a check, but do you really want to deal with checks? Think about that. Another thing on there is there is some variation on credit cards. If you go to some places and they don't take American Express, that's why. Do I think that it's worth your time on it? Again, your results may vary. The one big thing that you guys do control and are surprised a lot on this is if you have the card or not. If you take payment over the phone, or if you take text to pay, or if you take online payments, generally that is going to have a 20 to 30% higher fee on it than in-person charges. Think about that, guys. If you do text to pay, not only is the risk of a chargeback higher, but your credit card fee is higher. Who is that benefiting? You or the customer or neither? So be careful on this stuff. So we hit on advertising. We hit on credit card fees. I think you know, think where we're going next, but we're not going to hit on that one. We're going to go through insurance. Rent is going to be the last one. That's probably the biggest one that we talk about a lot, but insurance doesn't get a lot of love. And for a lot of you guys, this could be your largest expense, especially if you offer a ton of health insurance or you do something higher risk like my towing companies. These rates have skyrocketed and has turned into one of your largest overhead expenses, in my view, right? So if you want to say, Hunt, what are other people feeling on this? Because I am getting raked over the coals. Well, misery loves company, and that seems to be the general market for commercial insurance or commercial health insurance. Personally, for us, we don't have garage keepers here, but we do provide health insurance coverage for all of our employees. Over the last 5 years, we've had roughly a 15 to 20% increase in our premiums with zero change in service. Arguably, probably some less service than before. Now, what are my shop owners reporting? I have seen in some cases 100% over the same period for garage keeper or liabilities, 300%, 400%. I have seen more of my clients getting dropped from their insurance companies than ever before. We are seeing a massive consolidation in insurance. We're seeing a lot of places where certain states only have maybe a couple options for providers. Anytime that that market is low and the supply is low and the demand is high, the prices are going to go accordingly. So not only are my clients paying a fortune for insurance, if you end up having to use it, a lot of people are getting dropped. We're kind of have two different aspects on here. We have the health insurance side of it, which is a bit more of a commodity, and then the garage keeper liability side, which I feel is a bit more of a relationship. If you're saying, should I shop my health insurance based on rates? The answer to that is probably. You know, it's pretty easy, and it just comes down to the numbers and maybe what kind of services your employees are using. Now, would that be a good way for me to look for my garage keepers or liability insurance? Absolutely not. Even your insurance provider right now says, hey, if you want to go find a cheaper one, there's plenty of other options. I am the best option for you. The number one loss isn't natural disaster or fire in our shops, but is lack of insurance. Seriously. If I had two different shops on it, both of them had a massive fire. One of them is still operating today. One of them is out of business. Is it because this one's fire was worse or this one had more gas or fluid inside of it? No, this one had a good insurance agent and he was properly covered. And when this fire happened, he was able to get back on his feet. Was he out of business for 6 months, 12 months? Yes. Was he paid that entire time? Yes. Was his team paid that entire time? Yes. Were they reimbursed for all of their tools and all of their customers' cars that were destroyed? Yes, 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 and yes. Now, the other shop that I said went out of business because of a very similar fire, what do you think the answer to all of those questions for? No, no, no. He shopped around the insurance a couple of years before and he found a cheaper provider, but unfortunately for him, after the fire, he realized what cheaper coverage really meant. Seriously though, guys, a good agent will let you know that you have blind spots on it. That extra coverage on the mechanic's tools might end up costing you $20 now, but could save you a $120,000 bill to replace all of your employees' tools. This is a real story, guys. I am trying to scare you a bit deliberately on here. And if this is scaring you to call your insurance agent just to check if you're doing okay on it, then my job is complete. But remember, guys, I'll say this again, reviewing overhead and getting your overhead under control isn't always the same as cutting costs, maximizing value, minimizing risk, and making sure that you are under control. Last but not least on here, we got to talk about rent. Rent is the largest expense for almost all of you guys on here, and for a lot of you, making up roughly a third or 33% of your overhead. If you own your own building, you probably have no data to go off of. We'll get to you in a second, but the general rule of thumb is we are shooting for roughly 6 to 9% of our sales as a target annual rent for a repair shop. If you want to put that into other terms on it, if you're doing $1 million a year, you should be paying $60,000 to $90,000. If you want to go a little bit more aggressive on here, you say, hey, I want to keep rent below 10%. But I want to give you the range because generally in a sweet spot on there is a good spot. If you're above that, you might not have leveraged the space correctly or it might be at a very high rent district on it. If you're below that, you might be renting to yourself, which like I said, we'll talk about in a second, or you've truly outrun your overhead. Think about this, guys. And the first thing that I want you to think about when you're looking at this and you're really happy or you're beating yourself up is, first and foremost, if you're renting to yourself, you cannot give yourself kudos or even fault yourself yet until this next section. Second of all is if you're beating yourself up and you're saying, Hunt, my shop is only doing half of what it truly could do, then great. Your rent shouldn't make sense if you're only half at the level you should be. Same rent that is 12% today could be 6% next year if I double my sales. This is cost staying the same. You can make it relatively cheaper. This is one that is largely dependent on where you are and where you are. If you're in the same zip code as someone else, but one's in a business park and one's on a main drag, you are going to pay accordingly. I've heard a lot of arguments that will kind of translate or connect advertising with rent, and I love that idea. I think that there is absolutely a relationship between the two. If you get shoved back in a business park where you have zero street frontage, can you still have a good business? Yes. Can you do it without advertising? Probably not. Now, think about the same thing. If you have that high rent shop that is in downtown Main Street, you're probably going to be paying a lot higher in rent, but do you think you could ever have a business that does, you know, zero advertising? Yeah, you definitely could, right? Because you have how many thousands of people driving by you every day? More or less, though, the only chance to make your rent cheaper is to outrun it. If your rent is $60,000 a year and you're saying, Hunt, that is 10% of my sales right now, then we need to drive our sales so that same amount of money becomes relatively cheaper. There is other options, but probably not in this current environment. Some people, if you're able to squirrel up your money and buy that building, you can actually save a monthly payment by lowering it. Based on current real estate rates and current interest rates, though, most people are looking at a net increase when you go to buy the building. Still a great investment, still a great investing in real estate, but not like it was a couple of years ago where you could have a win-win. Investing in your future, guaranteeing your space for the near future, and also saving a monthly cash flow. Now, I kind of mentioned this before, that most of you guys aren't going to be able to truly judge yourself because you rent to yourself. So you're saying, well, Hunt, I only pay 3% of my sales. Look, this looks like I'm really good. Well, you haven't increased your rent for 25 years, sir, so I don't think that it's very accurate. If you have been listening to this and it's all based on what you pay yourself, talk to a real estate agent. Do I care if fair market value of your rent is $110,000 versus $115,000? No, you are missing the point. Most any agent is going to do this for free, give you off the cuff of like, if I was to sell the shop of it, what could I get for fair market value rent from a new tenant? This is a circular reference. You're taking money out of your right pocket, putting in your left pocket. Arguably, there is no tax benefit by changing this. But wouldn't you like to find out if you're actually significantly underpaying yourself on rent? If you increase your rent, that's going to increase the value of the real estate because the real estate is getting more money, but it's going to lower the value of the shop because it is increasing the expenses. Wouldn't you want to find out 5 years before you plan to sell that you need to probably triple your rent to get it in line with market value, then 6 months prior to when you're going to walk out the door and end up ruining the sale? Look at this stuff. Figure this out and make sure that you're doing the right things here. All in all, if you aren't making money, should you start chopping your overhead to make ends meet? Maybe, but if done incorrectly, that could be the death bells for your business. However, most businesses are throwing away thousands of dollars a year on things that they don't even know that they had. Be smart and look for yourself. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Looking for an easier way to catch this show or learn more from the Automotive Repair Podcast Network? Just go to arpn.app, that's arpn.app, and download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, re-show notes, and watch videos when available. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.